on was that October the 7th, things began to happen, and both within the assembly and in my secular job, I had a number of people coming to me and asking me questions about what's happening in the Middle East. I had already prepared and preached the first on what I thought would be a series of five messages on prayer. We do that every fall, an emphasis on prayer. But I had so much feedback that I felt led of the Lord. I'm not going to say God told me, because quite honestly, that sounds really puffy at times. You know, it really does. You know, well, God told me. A lot of things in your life that God should have said something to you about, and you haven't listened, but I didn't want to go there. But I really felt the need to look at end times. It is not a subject matter that I have taught a lot on. So this has been really a challenge for me. I tried to get a rough outline to our music director by Wednesday night, so they got some idea of where we're going, and he can pass that on. And then I try to get the finished devotional by Saturday before supper. This week it'll be Friday because I have to work Saturday. So it's been a challenge to prepare. We kicked off with basically Jesus speaking to the Jewish people. He says, "How is it that you can look at the sky, and you know you can now?" You and I had a similar saying. My dad was Navy. Red sky at night, sailors take the light. Red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Yours was
red sky at night,
shepherd's delight.
Shepherd's warning.
He says, you know these things, but you don't know the end of the times. How is it that you can look in the natural world and you can estimate or guesstimate what's going to happen, but in the spirit realm you're not addressing anything? So we use that as our kickoff, and then we did a thing on the covenants. when we do communion, he says, this is the blood of the new covenant, and the cross referencing is to the covenant of the law, which was conditional. If you followed God, if you obeyed God's commandments, certain things would happen, and if you didn't, then there was curses that would come. But we looked at the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with David, which are on conditional covenants. And it's on the basis of those two covenants that certain things are going to happen in the Middle East, and they are happening now. And then the third unconditional covenant is the covenant that we have with Christ Jesus, that if he has purchased you and you belong to him, you're called, you're beloved, and kept. You got it. Jude, the first, I was going to say the first chapter. There's only one chapter in Jude. The first verse in Jude. And we spent, 15 weeks going through Jude, those 25, 26 verses. So we looked at that. What's happening in Israel right now is not about land. It's about a sovereign God calling out a people, and that there would be animosity, hatred towards them. Jesus said in the world, you're going to have trouble as a Christian. You're going to have tribulation. Because the world hated me, it's going to hate you. Same for the Jews. Okay? Some of the old King James words, Bob, we don't like. You know, like in the Bible, it says, you're a peculiar people. You know, doesn't mean odd. When we talk about someone being peculiar, we think they're, you know, three fries short of a happy meal. What the word peculiar meant was unique, special. And we are unique and we are a special people. So we looked at it. And then last week specifically, because this is part two of the same thing, we looked at Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. In Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Empire of Babylon, has a dream, and he has this image, and not only does he want an interpretation, he wants they can come in and tell him what the dream was, not just the interpretation, and his magicians or sorcerers or whatever you want to call them says, who can do such a thing? Tell us a dream, we'll tell you the interpretation. He says, no, if you can't tell me the dream, there's no way you can tell me the interpretation. So he had ordered them all to be put to death. Now, Daniel was one of the counselors, he and his three friends. He found out about it, and he said, tell Nebuchadnezzar to hold off, and it is God who has the interpretation, and he knows the dream, and I'll give me a day or two, and I'll talk to him, and he reveals it. And what we saw was that image was four empires. The current one of Nebuchadnezzar, then followed by the Medo-Persian Empire, followed by Alexander the Great, and then the Roman Empire. Prophecy is so much easier to understand when you're looking at the historical fulfillment of it. But when you're looking at the future, there's a lot of speculation, you know. But out of that, he says there was another empire that came out, a great stone carved, broke out, not by human hands, and it would destroy that image. So you got four human empires, then a fifth, which is the Messianic, which is to come. Okay? Now, the whole point of what we've been doing throughout this whole series on end times is, especially as we come towards the Christmas season, beloved, we need to understand that what was written and was historically, literally fulfilled, the same portions deal with future events, and my conviction is that they're not allegories. They're not a picture of what might happen. They will be literally fulfilled, just as those four literal kingdoms rose up. It was a literal fulfillment, and that which is to come is going to be literal. Then Daniel, in the seventh chapter, he has a vision. And he sees four beasts coming out. And it is parallel to Daniel chapter 2. He sees, again, these four kingdoms. The current kingdom under Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. Then the Medo-Persian Empire. Then Alexander the Great, the Greek Empire. Then the Roman Empire. Then he sees something that Nebuchadnezzar didn't see. He sees rising up out of the fourth kingdom, out of the Roman Empire, and some want to make it that Rome will somehow become a power again. That may be right. I don't know. But out of, you look at, and we showed pictures last week, the vast area that Rome held. And there's strong indication that one of those states or provinces or one of the territories that was held by Rome, out of that will arise a fifth empire led by the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar didn't see that. Okay, so now we go from four earthly kingdoms to five, and then Daniel sees also the Messiah, the Messianic kingdom. So we go from four earthly, one divine, to five earthly and one divine. So we go from five to six. Now, in continuance with that, we go to Daniel chapter 7. So if you open your Bible to the middle, you'll be somewhere just to the right side of the book of Psalms and Proverbs. You keep going to the right. And if you go to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel chapter 9. Eleanor is very diligent in what she does, and she, I on each of my outlines, I add a statement of purpose. There's nothing worse than when you're listening to a speaker and you got no idea why they're sharing what they're sharing. You know, and I find if I nail down the reason. In the Greek, that's referred to the telos. I'm not talking about the phone company. Telos is the purpose or the reason that the Holy Spirit says what he's saying. And the task of a teaching elder is to determine the purpose of the Holy Spirit and to relay that to the hearers. So she is very diligent to take my purpose statement and include it in the bulletin. I want to persuade my congregation of the significance of the 70 weeks of Daniel to our individual and corporate faith, to the events of the end times, and to the return of Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why I'm sharing this. It's not an academic exercise. I want to persuade you that as you look at history and you see that those four kingdoms happened, literally. And in Daniel 7, there's going to be a fifth earthly kingdom led by the Antichrist. It will be literal. And that explains the tension and the animosity and the stewing that's happening in the Middle East, because it is not just a human thing, it is spiritual. Okay? And then it's going to be followed by a sixth kingdom, the literal return of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 1, it says, this same Jesus. And there's a number of words in the Greek that are used for same. Some mean one like. This one means the same as. It's not going to be somebody like Jesus. It's going to be Jesus. This same Jesus is going to come again. And he's going to establish his earthly rule. Okay? So that's the purpose. Okay, I've covered last week's devotional was entitled. We looked at that. Luke 21:24. It says, they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among the nations, and Israel will be tramped underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. This is part two of the time of the Gentiles. My understanding, my conviction is that when Israel and Judah didn't honor the word of God, and the northern 10 tribes, which we call Israel, were taken captive by the Assyrians, and then years later, Babylon comes in and takes Judah, the remaining two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, take them captive, they destroyed the city and the temple. And my understanding was the initiation or the start of the time of the Gentiles. Okay? Jerusalem is no longer controlled by Israel. It's no longer controlled by the seed of David, his offspring. It's now under foreign control. When the end of the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled, there's going to be a time of trouble, such as the world has never seen before. We're not sure when that period of time comes to an end. My suspicion is, and Rich, you and I have talked through this out just casually a couple of weeks ago, 1948, Israel was reestablished as a nation after over 2,000 years. You know, who's heard of such a thing? There is some teaching out there that, you know, Israel's been replaced by the church. A lot of that came out prior to 1948 because nobody really believed that after all that time that nation could be reestablished. But they were wrong. You know, that there literally is a nation of Israel again today. Church hasn't replaced Israel. We're a new entity, okay? Ephesians 2. Of the two, the Jew and the Gentile, God has made one new man, the church. So in God's perspective, there aren't multiple nations and multiple ethnic groups. There's two. You're either a Jew or, you know, Romans 1, you know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek or the Gentile. Okay, 1:16. If you're looking for the notes, it's not there. There's a new man. But the promise to David, the unconditional covenant to David, has not been removed. And in 1948, we saw the beginning of it. Is that the countdown? How many have heard of the doomsday clock? You know, it's a literal thing. You know, was 1948 the beginning of the countdown for the end of the time of the Gentiles? May well be. We could well be in, if that's for me, I'm busy. We could well be in the final countdown. We're to know the times and the seasons. We're to be like the sons of Issachar that understood the times and they knew what to do. We're supposed to know what to do. Amen? Okay? Forgive me. I a couple months ago, I was sick, and I still periodically get winded here. Leviticus 26:40. But if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers and their treachery, and they committed against me, and also in walking contrary to me, so that I walk contrary to them and brought them into the land of their enemies, okay, they were taken captive, if then their uncircumcised heart is humbled and they make amends for their iniquity, then, when they repent, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and I will remember my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. Okay, Abraham and David are the two unconditional covenants, and they're made with the people of Israel. And that's the tension. The tension isn't about that little speck of land. You know, the tension is over the purposes of God. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly realms. We're looking at a spiritual conflict. Okay? He says, when they do that, I will remember the land. There's a promise to Abraham and to David regarding the land. Okay? In the thousand-year kingdom, when Christ returns, God in the flesh, he will reign from Jerusalem in Israel. The land has an importance. Hello? As do the people. Right? Isaiah 11:11-12 speaks of a second regathering. Okay? Jeremiah 29:10-12. For thus says the Lord, when the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to the place, for I know the plan. We often refer to this for ourselves. Well, if God doesn't speak it to you, it's not for you. It's written to the Jews who were in exile. He says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans of a welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Well, it looked like for a couple thousand years there was no hope. And then 1948, and guess what? And a barren, desolate land. If you look at the pictures of the land that is now Israel, and always was Israel back, you know, anyway, getting off track here. If you look at it, it was desolate. When the Jews took over, they turned the desert into a garden. Okay? Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. Okay? Now, so here we are. Daniel is if I understand right, he obviously he's from the tribe of Judah. There's some indication he may have been actually a Levite, I don't know. If it says it, I don't recall. But here he is in Babylon. And years later, under the Medo-Persian Empire, an order is given and is issued to Zerubbabel to go back and to rebuild the temple. Okay? So the temple that was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD was not the original temple of Solomon. This is the rebuilt temple under Zerubbabel. Then, under Artaxerxes the king, in 445 to 444, remember, when you're in BC, you're counting down, okay? So it's 45 first, 445, and then 444. An issue is given to... Oh, Nora's in the other room, isn't she? She's in Air Cadets. This is not a red herring. This is relevant. Okay? She is being coached, and she's got a whole several-page thing to prepare for. She's got to go to a formal mess. And she has to have right etiquette and everything, you know. You know, no elbows on the table and no chewing with your mouth open or talking with food in your mouth and all these things. And we're going, and you or Justin may have to be one of the servers, and you got to do right etiquette. And she was talking about the master of ceremonies formerly used to taste the drink first. Why? Because if it's bad or if it's poisoned, it's not given to you. You know. Okay, Nehemiah was the cupbearer to Artaxerxes the king. That doesn't mean he was the butler. This is a trusted confidant who you can rely on, because when he serves the king, he tastes everything first. And if he can't be trusted, he might substitute and then give the king something that's poisonous. So he's in prayer for months, and then he's before the king, and the king says, "What's the matter with you? This is nothing but sadness of heart." And he says, "Well, you know," he says, "the city of my home, Jerusalem, is the walls are destroyed, and the gates aren't put in place." Gates were a position of authority. Okay, so in 445, 444, Artaxerxes gives Nehemiah authority to go and rebuild the city. Okay, well, that's relevant to what we're doing right now. Okay, that takes us to, okay, next one. Daniel 9, the vision of the 70 weeks. Are you in Daniel 9? In the first year of Darius, the son of, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, by descent, Mede, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were the Babylonians. In the first year of his reign, Daniel served under four different kings. He served for over 70 years. Received in the book of books the number of the years that, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. And why? Because they missed 70 sabbatical years. This is, you're going to leave the land, and the land will get its rest. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession, saying, "O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant, steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, all the lands to which you have driven them, because of the treachery that they have committed against you. To us, O Lord..." I'm going to take my tie off. Excuse me. I'm starting to choke. Choking on my own words. "To us, O Lord, belongs open shame. To our kings..." "To our Lord, our God, belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him." Verse 10. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by walking in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned aside, refusing to obey your voice. Now remember, the law of Moses was a conditional one. Abraham and David on conditional covenants. And the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out upon us because we've sinned against him. He has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our rulers who ruled us by bringing upon us a great calamity. For under the whole heaven there has not been done anything like what has been done against Jerusalem. And it's still happening. Thank you. My daughter's giving me a signal. You want some water? As it's written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of our Lord God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept ready the calamity that's brought upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. Aren't you glad you're not under the law? And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy hill, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and our people have become a byword among all around us. Is that still true today? Yeah. Okay. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for our sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. That's why it's so important. God identifies it, okay? For we have not presented our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear, O Lord. Forgive, O Lord. Pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. This is a spiritual issue, okay? While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sins of my people of Israel, and presenting my plea before the Lord my God for the holy hill of my God, while I was speaking in my prayer, the man Gabriel, okay, this is the angel, whom I had seen in a vision at the first, came to me in a swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding, okay? So that what I'm supposed to be doing here is giving you this morning the insight and the understanding that was given to Daniel. And I really pray by the Holy Spirit that we're successful at that, because the 70 weeks of Daniel has been, it's been hard for a number of people to understand. Okay? At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out and I have come. Now, notice, he says, I heard you when you started to pray. Now, if you've been praying for something and it hasn't come yet, keep praying. Okay? At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I have come to tell it to you. For you are greatly loved, therefore consider the word and understand the vision. Okay, 70 weeks are declared about your people. Who? The Jews. Okay? 70 weeks are declared for the Jewish people. And your holy city. What city? Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for iniquity. Larry, at one moment. We just did atonement a couple of weeks ago. To bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Know therefore and understand that from the going out of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, to the coming of an anointed one, a prince, there shall be 7 weeks. Then, for 62 weeks, it shall be built again with squares and molt, but in troubled time. And after 62 weeks, an anointed one shall come and be cut off and shall have nothing. But the end of the but and the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Is that happening now? This is current newspaper. Okay? And he shall make a strong covenant with many for 1 week, and for half of the week he shall put an end to the sacrifice and offerings, and on the wing of abominations shall come one who makes desolate until the decree end is poured out on the desolator. In the first year, okay, Daniel 9, the vision of 70 weeks. The first year of Darius, historically, is approximately 539 B.C. Okay, this is when Zerubbabel's given authority to go and rebuild the temple. This is the first time Daniel uses Jehovah. I'm using the Hebrew spelling, not the traditional English. It's the first time he uses this in the book of Daniel. Jehovah is the covenant name of God. He's going back to the covenant made with Abraham. Okay. He uses that name of God again in verses 4, 8, 10, 13, 14, and 20. Okay? And these things are recorded, so you know, some of you use the outline as a devotional base for the week. Daniel confesses the sin of Israel and Judah. Verses 20 and 23, Gabriel, an angel, comes to Daniel in response to his repentant confession. Verses 24 to 27, Gabriel informs Daniel that, in verse 24, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your whole... That should be your, not our. I'm sorry. Your holy city. Notice this time period centers around Israel and Jerusalem. That is why Israel and Jerusalem are an international hot potato. He saw it back then. This period is a period of 70 times 7. Weeks is equal. Doesn't just mean 70. It just means 7. Okay? So 70 times 7 is 490 years. The time period is apportioned into three units. The first unit is Daniel 9:25. No one understand that from the going out of the word to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. This is not the order given by Darius to rebuild the temple. This is 445 to 444 BC under Artaxerxes, when Nehemiah goes out under authority from the king to rebuild the city walls. Many Bible scholars believe that this was historically fulfilled by Artaxerxes in 445, 444 BC, empowering Nehemiah, the cupbearer, Nehemiah's name means Jehovah comforts. He's a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes in your life to rebuild your identity, reestablish the city walls, and to reestablish your authority, which is the gates. I did a series one time on Nehemiah. You'll look forward to that someday. It took me 36 weeks. This will be a period of 7 times 7, 49 years. Okay, that was the designated time for that first section. Okay. Now, Daniel 9:26, the second unit of time. And after the 62 weeks, an appointed one shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Its end shall come with a flood, and to the end there shall be war. Desolations are decreed. Okay, now, if you take 62 times 7, you get 434 years. Plus the 49, okay, what was that? Well, pay attention. There's a test afterwards. From the first unit, for a total of 483. Do you remember the date of Artaxerxes giving the permission to go and rebuild the city? 445, 444. Okay? Now we're looking at what? 483. Okay? This isn't a math lesson. This is significant. Okay? That would take us to approximately 30 AD, which is the time of Christ. This is not random chance. This is a prophetic word dating things accurately. This is the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion and his resurrection. This is way beyond coincidence. So give or take a few years, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember I shared some time ago, Josh McDowell in his book, Evidence Demands a Verdict, he requested of a mathematician to work out, under the laws of probability, 8 prophecies being fulfilled by Christ. Okay? Just 8. There's somewhere closer to 40. This among them. That it would, the number is so huge, it would be, to illustrate it, the mathematician said, it would be like taking the state of Texas, covering it 2 feet deep in silver dollars, and having one of the silver dollars marked with an X, and then fly Lindsay in by random in a helicopter, just randomly land, and him get out, take a couple of steps out, bend over, and pick up the coin with the X. That's the probability. It's beyond imagination. It's not coincidence. It's God declaring things. Okay. The people that come, notice, they destroy the temple that Zerubbabel had, and the temple that should be Zerubbabel built, and the city rebuilt by Nehemiah. What people was that? 70 AD. What people? The Roman Empire. Okay? So, under Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, there was a regathering out of the empires that were Babylon at that time, Medo-Persian. They came, and there's 50-some thousand or something, they came back, and they're rebuilding. And they're reestablishing. The people that destroyed that was the Roman Empire. Remember the prophecies of Daniel 2 and Daniel 7. Daniel 2 was historically fulfilled with the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman empires, followed by the future rule of Messiah. Daniel 7 records the same 4 empires, Babylon, Medo-Persian, Greek, and Roman. Daniel is showing a 5th empire that arises out of the old Roman Empire. This is the rule of the Antichrist. Daniel also sees the future rule of Messiah. Okay? Now, what we need to be watching for, listen, those aspects were literally, not metaphorically, they were literally fulfilled. And the dating is externally proven outside of the Bible. Rome came out, and in 70 AD, they destroyed the city and the second temple. Okay, Solomon's temple was destroyed by Babylon, but under Darius, it's rebuilt under Zerubbabel. And then years later, the city is rebuilt under Nehemiah. The Romans come in, and they destroy it. The people of the prince that shall come, it's not talking about Christ. It's talking about the empire that would come in and destroy the city and the temple. That's the Romans. Now, that Roman Empire, if you remember the screen we put up last week, it was mammoth. It went up to the Rhine. It went up to touching in I teased Judy this morning. She says, most of our roads in England are asphalt. They aren't that here. I says, yeah, but Great Britain's much older than us, and most of your good roads were built by the Romans. Yeah. It went nearly to Scotland. Out of that vast territory that was ruled by Rome is going to arise a nation, a power that'll be ruled by the Antichrist. And they'll establish peace. We're going to get into detail on that next week, on the 70th week, because we're 5 minutes after for our guests. I've been nicknamed John 12:15. And it's five after now. We don't have time to get into the 70th week. I was preparing yesterday, and there's just not enough time to do this. So we're going to do the 70th week next week. So what we've done now is we've looked at 69 weeks. Okay? Can we go back one? One more back? Where's the one with the dates? Back one more. Okay, forward now. Okay, 62 times 7 is 434. Got your calculator in your phone? Verify. Mouth of two or three witnesses will everything be confirmed. Okay? Then 480. Then you add the 49 from the first unit, and you get 483. You put in 483 and take 444 years or 445 off, and what do you got? Who's checking my math? Yeah, what'd you get? 38, okay? That takes us to the time of Christ. Okay. There's one more week that's to be fulfilled. How many of you have gone hiking in the mountains? I was going down to a pastor's training session with Dr. Jack Hayford, and I was going by myself because it was pastors. It wasn't the Autumn Leaders Conference. And I'm driving on I-15, and I got up into Montana, and I was getting a little lightheaded and dopey. I thought, I need to get out and take a little walk. And I noticed this hill, and I thought, you know, I'll go out and get some air going through me, and I'll see what it looks like beyond there. I expected to, you know, see if I get up there and there's another ridge that I couldn't even see from the road. The prophets saw high points. He saw the 49 years. He saw the other years. And then he sees the last week. But what he didn't see was the period of the church. This gospel will be preached to all the earth, and then the end will come. He didn't see that, period. That valley has run nearly 2,000 years. But I declare to you on the authority of the Scripture, the 70th week is coming. And it could happen any time. The world is in turmoil. Things are happening rapidly. Changes are it is well possible that he that is to arise as the Antichrist is on earth right now today. We're going to get into that next week. We have completed 69 weeks out of 70. My point is, listen, folks, they were literally fulfilled. And on that basis, I have every assurance from the Scripture and from the Holy Spirit that the 70th week that we're going to look at next week is going to be literally fulfilled. And at the fulfilling of that week, Christ will return. And he'll establish his people, okay? Are we going forward? Okay, keep going forward. Okay, Galatians 4, 4 to 5 says, in the fullness of time, Christ is born of the flesh, born of a woman. Have you ever wondered what he means by the fullness of time? My understanding is at the end of the 69 weeks, the Messiah is going to come in the flesh and he's going to be cut off having nothing. He's going to be cut off by the prince that is to come, Rome. They were the agents that crucified him. They're the ones in 70 AD that destroyed the temple and the city. But he's coming again. This was literally, okay, there it is. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive the adoption of sons. We're in that valley called the church. But the 70th week is coming. I'm not going to stand here and say it could be tomorrow. But I am going to stand here and say it's coming soon. Jesus said these are the last days. That was 2,000 years ago. I don't have to be a mathematician or a scholar to figure out if it was the last days 2,000 years ago. Dear one, we're well into the last days. It's going to happen soon. How soon, I don't know. But we need to be alert. We need to be paying attention. We need to be committed to reaching the lost. And that was one of my frustrations regarding the news that happened regarding the other thing. It was one of the major outreach things. You know? It's why we're committed to assisting in Mexico. We can't personally be there, but we send you guys down there, and pastors' homes and churches are being built, and food is being distributed. We support a number of missionary outreaches. This gospel will be preached to the ends of the world, and then the end will come. The 70th week is upon us. Does this make sense to you? Do you see this? If you can see the history of it, you go, oh, okay. It took 49 years for them to get to a place under Daniel where he cries out in repentance. Okay? And then things begin to happen. Let's pray. Father, you don't want your word to be a mystery to us. It is to be clear. And where there's uncertainty and maybe a little confusion, we commit it to the Holy Spirit that you would bring clarity, that what has often for many people been a very confusing portion of Scripture, hopefully by your Spirit, we've been able to give some clarity to the first 69 weeks that are now history. And they were literally fulfilled. And we believe, I believe, that the 70th week is going to be literally fulfilled. And at some point, because we have life with Christ eternal, we'll look back and say, that's now history. The King has come. The King is coming. How many have cheated and read the end of Revelation? Even so, Lord Jesus, come. God bless you. I really pray that as you meditate over this the next week and you look at it, you think, you know, this makes some sense. And you can stand, folks. They're going to lead us in our closing number, and then Josh is going to pray.